You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Welcome back to the Glass Cannon Fam Jam. You guys like puzzles?
No, love puzzles.
Jigsaw Wait. Puzzles?
Yeah.
No.
I guess that is an important clarifying question.
Skid doesn't like them. Joe likes them. No, not jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, no, puzzles, I don't like, in general? I don't like yes. brain teaser puzzles. I don't enjoy them.
Okay, puzzles?
Wait. I was going to say yes, but then everyone started breaking them down. I don't like riddles. Is that a puzzle?
It's in the puzzle family. Sydney, puzzles?
I like to think I like puzzles, if that makes sense.
This became a complicated question.
It's a very safe answer.
Yeah, really. I like to think I like puzzles. I want people to think I like puzzles.
Yes,
that's the important
thing. No, the important thing is I want people to think I'm smart enough to be good at puzzles. And usually I am not good at puzzles, which makes me frustrated.
Which makes you hate them.
Yes.
Like me.
Yep. Here's why I bring it up. I love puzzles of any shape or form. I love puzzles like the traditional 100-piece, 500-piece. I've loved them since I was a kid. And it's crazy because my 4-year-old, he's been into it since he was a baby. He just loves puzzles. But I also love brain teasers and riddles and all that. I love any type of puzzle. But my mother-in-law, she gets like, just, she doesn't know what to get me, so she just gets a bunch of stuff. And she got me this thing. I think it's called like the Egyptian alchemist's scallywag or whatever. And it's basically, I don't know if you can see this, it's like a jar.
Oh, yeah.
There's I can't even know how to describe it. There's a little ball in there, a wooden ball. There's a stick in the jar, and this, you can't pull the stick out because there's a screw in it that has a nut attached to it. And then at the end of the stick is a hole where a metal pin is attached. And the goal is to disassemble this, pull everything out of the jar, and then reassemble it. And without breaking the jar, essentially.
So these puzzles are great. The hardest part of these puzzles, though, is not getting the thing out. It's putting it back together and, like, resetting the puzzle.
Right. I've been trying to get it out, and I haven't got there yet, but I think I've figured out the general strategy for getting it out.
Just shake the shit out of it?
Break the glass.
Well, if you watch, like, TikToks.
Is that your solution?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because if you watch, like, TikToks of dudes that are, like, way into this, and I say dudes because everyone I've seen is just a bunch of dudes, so I'm like, I do this puzzle. The first thing they do is they shake the shit out of it, and sometimes that, like, gets it going. But I tried that on this. It does not work. You basically, it looks like you have to like use the metal thing that's in there to slow and then have the ball rotate the nut on the screw.
Oh.
Again, I think I can get it out. I've but I haven't done it yet. So
we'll
maybe
see if
I'm
you do it by the end
idiot.
Of the app.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, that's the whole show, by the way.
I can't tell if your mother-in-law knows you extremely well or knows you extremely well and hates you. It's like, how can I basically punish him for a year?
Because I have to do it. Puzzle. That's the thing. I have to do the scallywag puzzle. And I haven't got it out yet. I think I will. Putting it back in, though, man, I can't wait till I do that because then I can just throw this thing out.
When you finally get it, will you smash it against the ground outside?
I do it like I'm christening a ship. Fuck you, puzzle.
Scallywag.
Scallywag.
Yeah, that's a particular kind of puzzle that I do enjoy for a good period of time. Like, I mean, several hours. Like, I will just get lost in it, like messing with it. And I do have the patience to go for a long time because you always know there is a solution. There actually is. And if I can't figure it out, I don't know. With those, I don't feel dumb if I can't figure it out. I don't like
you should.
Escape rooms. Like riddly.
You don't like an escape
puzzles.
Room?
You don't like escape room?
I enjoy the social aspect of going to an escape room. I never figure out one thing. Not one thing. I'm just the guy in the room that's like totally eats up the red herring. Like whatever is the thing that means nothing. Like I spend all my time on. And my friends are just happy to let me do that while they actually figure out the puzzle.
I agree. I don't like escape rooms. but it's because I don't like working with others.
Same.
And I get hard super competitive. Same. Like if someone finds the key, I'm like, oh, fucking shit, I don't want to play this game anymore. Like, that's my toxic trait.
Oh my God, I'm the same exact way, Kate. Like if someone said, hey, do you want to go to escape room? I'm like, yeah, let me go do one by myself. And then you guys can do the next one. That would be way more.
So there's always one in a group. I went to an escape room for the first time for my birthday this past year with like two friends and with Xavier. And I've never been. I was very excited. I was like, I'm sure this is going to be fun no matter what, even if we lose. And immediately we're put into two separate rooms. It's like a jail escape game. And we're in two separate cells and we can't see each other. And immediately they were like, fuck you guys, we're doing this on our own. And me and my friend were like, the whole point is we have to work together. We're not going to solve it because we can't see each other. We have to like escape together. And they were like, you're on your own. And I was like,
that sounds to me like real jail.
I was going to say, this is how it would go.
That's a pretty good simulation.
This is how it would go. Yeah,
my uncle was sentenced to a federal escape room for 4 to 6 years. He didn't really enjoy it that much.
Did he do a good job? Did he escape?
Did he figure out the riddle?
It took him a while. Yeah.
Good behavior. That was the
riddle. Are any of you familiar with the Cain's Jawbone book?
I've heard of it.
It was a book that was written, I think, like in like 1930 or 1935 or something. And it's basically 100 pages, and the pages are not in order. It's a murder mystery.
I think you were talking about Choose Your Own Adventures or something.
It is like a Choose Your Own Adventure, but like apparently only like four people have solved. Like there was every time they re-released it, there was like, you can win. It was British. So it was like, you can win £20. And like two people solved it in the first go, and then no one solved it again, and then they re-released it. So I've been thinking about getting it. It's just a book, and then it just like ruins people's lives, and they turn their bedrooms into like murder walls, like arranging the pages, trying to figure out who figure out like who died, who killed them, and the motive, and it's apparently very complicated. I love puzzles, but I'm not as good at them as I want to be. So there's always like I can usually work through them, but I like it takes me a long time.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing to me is like by definition. Like you can never be good enough at puzzles. You know what I mean? Like there's always a harder puzzle. And you know what I mean? Like it just hurts your brain and it eventually makes you feel bad about yourself.
Well, no, when your brain hurts like that, that means it's growing. So it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matthew, if you buy that book, I will also buy that book. Do you want to have a little book club and see if we can solve the murder, who solves it the fastest?
We're gonna find them like locked in a room at some point in a couple months, just like foaming later. At the mouth with paper everywhere.
Matthew has like a Forrest Gump beard
written all over the wall, scribblings of a madman.
We're like red thread connecting the pages everywhere. Caitlin got, there's this other thing called Dear Holmes, which I think I've talked about too, where it's you get letters as if you are Sherlock Holmes from like Scotland Yard is having trouble and you have to, and they send you a letter and you have to help them solve the mystery and you get like five letters and you can, Caitlin got it for me as a gift, which is an amazing gift, but they are like, the baby just was born. My brain was not functioning anyway. And they're like a little harder than I wanted it to be at the time. Yeah. They're sitting on a stack on my bookshelf.
I thought it was a magazine of homes for deers. And I was like, why would want that?
Dear Holmes.
I just live in the woods.
Dear Holmes.
I just live in the woods.
Like a birdhouse?
You want to invite them into your yard?
My children and I build deer homes.
Deer homes have a silent L in them.
They're all puzzles. You get sent the pieces and you have to build the home for the deer together.
Oh, my aunt gave me another deer home. But
I did always wonder, in your backyard on a forklift,
like this huge fucking shed.
I did always wonder where deer go to like sleep and stuff. So that's where they go.
You know, if you ever see a deer sitting in your yard, and like a small deer, you just leave it there. You know that?
But what else would you do?
You might like, hey, the fuck out of here, deer! You're not supposed to do that. Go out there banging pots and
pans, just throwing wine bottles at it.
I told you I threw out that deer home. So if you see a deer laying in your, I found out this out because up here in Westchester is fucking animal. It's like the wild. And if you find a deer in your yard, it usually means the mother left it there and is going to come back for it. So you don't scare it away. Mm. Don't offer it food or piss on it. Just like leave it there.
There's a deer outside.
A juvenile deer. If you see
you like that deer.
If you see a buck in your yard, you can get the buck out of there.
An adult deer also lay down.
This is true. But you can tell
deer.
They don't care.
They don't care. They're still laughing about peeing on deer because they're boys.
You guys are the epitome.
Can we unpack that for a minute?
This kid half cocked and piss on the poor baby deer.
Oh my God. They get real excited. It's like, oh man, I've been having to go all day. I've been waiting for this.
I get to do as nature intended.
You guys are, there's this video, and I feel like you must have seen it. And it's like two boys, young boys, filming like each other doing little tricks on their driveway, like scooter tricks. And one of the boys falls, and he starts to like get upset and start to cry. And his friend comes over, and he's like, "It's okay, it's okay." And he's like, and he's like, "Oh, you know what it was?" And he looks at the ground. He's like holding the camera. He's like, "It was this damn ass rock." And he holds up this little pebble, and the kid's like, "You're right. It's that rock that I fell on." And he's like, "Should we do something gay to it? Like pee on it?" And
should we do something gay to it?
And the kid's like, "Yeah." And he makes him feel better. And then he's like, "Can you stop filming?" And it is the most beautiful, but like quintessential 12-year-old boy moment of two boys being like, "You guys want to do piss on it?" And he's like, "Yeah."
That's
and you
beautiful.
Guys see a deer and your first thought is, "I should probably go pee on that."
You're not supposed to do that. Just leave it alone.
You're not supposed to do that.
You know, Troy, thank you for telling me.
That's the homeowner's instinct. That's the initial homeowner's instinct. Homeowner's,
pee on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't tell
you see
your
a
kids.
Deer in your yard, pee on it.
I own the land underneath you, dear. Yeah. I have the right.
Prove it.
Not supposed to do it.
It's territory marking. I'm going to pee on this.
That's right.
Oh, now you know.
The more you know.
Well, man, that was a... That was a hell of a good time last week. I said that the new series is going to be shorter, and it was obviously long. I knew it would be with 19 enemies, but God, it's good to be back. Good to be back with this crew. I mean, this is the crew. Once the tour comes back, hopefully in April, this is the team you're going to see on the road. And hopefully by then, Strange Aeons will have just moved back to the tour show, and we'll be launching the new Glass Cannon podcast with this same crew. Playing the Gatewalkers Adventure Path, which, you know, you're going to have in your hands if you want it by like next week. Just leave it alone. Don't read it. Just watch the show and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Don't
just buy
read.
It and don't read it.
Yeah, buy it and don't read it. People love reading it. But yeah, I'm so excited. This is going to be a real exciting year. We were talking about gum last week, and then we had a long fight. I didn't even get to say, you know, Happy New Year. I'm so excited. But we have another fight this week, and I think we should just fucking get into it. The boat, as the blood from these eight sailors, actually one of them fell in the water, so seven sailors seeps into the floorboards of the Blood Wind, as it were. Yet again, the boat laughs. It almost seems like it's breathing, like the deck is kind of like moving in and out. This boat is alive, perhaps? The sails flutter open, and these two figures emerge. One, again, I said this, like, spectral form. You can see straight through it. Incorporeal woman wearing, it almost looks like there's the bits and pieces of a uniform, like a boat, like a ship, some sort of, like, she belonged to a crew of a ship. Not clinging to the specter, but a part of the specter itself. Floating there, she comes out. And then on the other side, this denizen of Lang, as Eris discovered during an occult check, I believe it was last week.
Yes.
This denizen of Lang, captain of the Bloodwind, the captain who sent the Dracolus ask after you, left it behind on the shores of that nutty beach, and it ended up killing two of you. Almost killing all of you, almost succeeded. He wouldn't even have to do this. But now he's here to finish the job. Ethel's in rough shape. The rest of you are okay. But that was nothing. This is the real fight. And the captain's tricorn that you need is atop this man's head. You've already missed one gift. And Sarnath, the doom idol, Bokrug, You want to show up to the Mad Poet with another gift missing? Roll for initiative.
God damn it.
Okay.
Rock and roll.
We all just get along.
For initiative. I know. It's weird this whole game is based on murder.
It is.
We don't talk about that enough.
It's a murder game.
It really
is. Murder.
You get together with your friends and play a murder game?
Yeah, that's so funny. It's like, we want to go do an escape room. Nah. I'm going to play a murder game with my friends.
But, find as many people as we can and kill them.
I wanted to get Clue for Archer, but I didn't want to get the actual clue. Like, who killed Mr. Bonney? He hung him in the study. But they have Clue. Let's play.
I think he killed himself.
I think Mr. Bonney hung himself. But they have Clue Jr., and it's like, who broke the toy and in what room?
That's
smart.
That's cool.
So you got to figure out what toy and...
And at the end, does whatever kid did it get beat? So you really like send a message home about breaking things in the house?
Yeah, if it's like Mr. Green is the one that broke Mr. Potato Head in the kitchen, you then beat Mr. Green to death. It's in the rules.
As per the rules of the game.
Savagely beat Mr.
And then Mr. Green is severely punished for touching Daddy's tools.
Daddy, are you okay? Aldo, what'd you get?
I got a 32.
Oh, man, we're back. Eris.
We're back, baby.
I rolled a natural 3, which means I got a 40. Just kidding. It's a 14.
40 is just your go-to number.
That's a good number.
When in doubt, 40.
40.
Atticus.
27 for Atticus.
27 for Atticus. Ethel.
24. Terrible roll.
24 for Ethel. And finally, Suki.
Suki got a 26 and a 22 for Pepsi.
That's right, old Pepsi. If you go to the map, you'll see both Pepsi and Chicken Poon are there, but I didn't know if chicken...
What is this?
I took an image of a chicken and a harpoon.
We can't see the Chicken Poon name. You got to make it so we can see the Chicken Poon name.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put the name under
Chicken Poon. I'm not putting it on stream until you put that name, make that name.
All right, so I wanted to, but for some reason it's not giving me the option to.
I'm zooming in so much because it's so funny.
I know how to do it now. They changed it on Roll 20, and I know how to do it. But
you made it
20
so
minutes
small.
To explain it to you.
It's a harpoon and a chicken. It's going to be a real pain in the ass to move around, but it's there. It's chicken.
It's awesome. Probably not active anymore, honestly. It says briefly active. I feel like it's like telekinetic projectile, but with feet, you know?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna get rid of the chicken, but leave the harpoon.
Keep the poon. Okay.
You never
know. Keep the poon.
You never know. Right. Kill the chicken. Leave the poop. All right. Wait, you said Pepsi had a 22?
Yeah, Pepsi has a 22, yeah, initially.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I'm so sorry. I did this the last time, too. I don't have a 26. I have a 28. I have incredible initiative feat, and I always forget. That's a 28.
Incredible initiative. Okay. Well, that's incredible.
Thank you.
Even more incredible. Aldo rolled highest. Aldo, let me show you what you see. Let me go to my GM info overlay. You see Kotraka. There's the captain.
All right, things are happening now.
Whoa.
And very similar to Eris last week, there are multiple mirror images all layered over the space of the captain. Let me do a little pop and lock here. What is it called? A little shift Z. Pretty cool,
Has it been more than 1 minute?
I don't think that worked, whatever you thought you did.
It didn't work for me. You can't see him?
It's Shift C, right? Is it Shift C?
Yeah, Shift C? Yeah,
there you go.
Oh, there we go.
Whoa, so cool.
Look at that Leng Ruby.
Yeah.
Is that a Leng Ruby in your pocket?
That is gorgeous art. It's all in like tattered like mummy rags. So cool.
And
his
the good
mask.
Thing about that art is it's definitely from the book and not lifted from the internet.
Oh, stop lifting stuff from the internet, man.
I'm busy. And then on the other side, in the other cell, you see this sexy lady.
Ooh, sexy.
Ooh. Not good. And this is this is the one that Eris identified as a wraith, right?
This is a wraith. It's incorporeal, but it's powerless to sunlight.
Yes. If you have any sunlight spells, now's the time to bring them out, Aldo.
Yep. Okay.
Question.
Line up the clerics.
Like the last fight?
Has it been a minute since the last fight?
Do I still have a mirror image? Does Ethel still have eyes?
Are we just going into the next round, or has it been 10 minutes? How many minutes?
How long do the eyes last?
The eyes last for 1 minute, and so do my mirror images.
I'm going to roll the GM die that says maybe or no. Yes, it is. You still have them active to start the combat.
Amazing.
Okay.
That bodes well for us.
Okay. I'll say they're half gone.
Sure.
Okay.
There's only 500 eyes left.
Few of them close.
Yeah, I'll say for the purposes of this combat, they're good for another five rounds.
Cool.
And it is Aldo's turn. Suki, Ethel, and Atticus are now on that ship. Aldo and Eris remain on the Selen Starling.
All right. Aldo has a little bit of a trick up his sleeve. But to use it, he's going to have to leap across. So he wants to do so. He's going to leap to the other boat.
Do you have 30 feet of movement?
I have 25 feet of movement.
25 feet of movement. Okay, so remember, it's five less. But you know
basically,
what?
It would take
there,
you two actions to get there.
Unless you want to roll an athletics check and just make it, then you can use it in one. Do it in one action. Well, you're supposed to have 10 feet. Just get over there. I don't want to get you on hamstrung.
I do. I'm also like 10 feet higher than
the. That's why I'm saying I'm going to let you do it. If you were on where Eris is, obviously Eris could make the jump, but if she was further back, I would say you'd have to take two actions. But you're okay where you're higher up.
Okay, great. So Aldo, whoom, boom, like jumps across to the other ship, and he is going to use quick alchemy, which he hasn't done in a while, which will allow me to use some of my daily reagents to create a bomb or alchemical concoction on the fly. And I am going to create a moderate bomb of bottled sunlight.
Yeah, I knew it.
Amazing.
Yes.
What?
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
That's
that
incredible.
What a huge piece of knowledge I just gave away last week.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I didn't think any of you could do anything about it. Holy shit. Okay.
So he quickly, mixes a couple of things together, like in one of the flasks on his belt, and he's just like, "It's sunrise, baby!" and throws it across at the wraith. That's a 22 to hit.
All right. Let me go back to its AC. That is a miss.
Okay. That's still 5 points of positive energy splash damage.
Okay, 5 points of positive energy splash damage. And now, does it have to hit for the sunlight property to do something?
That I don't know.
Or what did the sunlight effect?
Glow, sheds bright light, heals. It sheds bright light, man!
It does, yeah.
Does it have to hit to shed bright light?
Yeah, like it did splash damage. It did damage that was of that light. But it's not a lingering damage, right?
No. Yeah, this is the thing. I think it's like mechanically, actually, I'm not sure that it has any of the properties of sunlight because it's not really mentioned. Like I can emit bright light from it, but it doesn't say like sunlight. It doesn't say those properties. So even though the name of it is bottled sunlight. And
is it called bottled sunlight?
It is, yeah.
Is that exactly what it's called? In first edition, it definitely
undead
shed
with
light.
A particular vulnerability to sunlight take the maximum amount of positive damage from bottled sunlight. Okay. So it is sunlight.
It is sunlight. All right, so yeah. I'll say for probably for where it took the splash damage. Oh God, this is going to be brutal. It's going to have its effect for at least this round.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Which for this is stunned two and clumsy two.
Hell
great.
Wow.
And,
amazing.
Yeah. And I'm going to throw another one.
Nice.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. That is a 30 to hit.
30 does hit.
Okay. So that's 8 points maximum positive damage and 2d4 fire damage. If it's vulnerable to such things.
Okay.
So 5 points of fire damage.
Okay, you see the fire damage doesn't do anything, whereas the positive definitely did.
Okay. And then, so that's eight. So, and then that's 4 more points of positive splash damage.
4 more points of positive splash damage. Okay, I see. Yeah, I think the way it's written is like it wants to be this this continual sunlight for it to have these effects. But it's a lot more fun in the spirit of the game where you were able to use this to have it have an effect, just have it be a temporary effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so you see the wraith screams out as the sunlight explodes around it. And it is now its turn. I'm taking a look at Clumsy. You know, its AC is lowered. Its reflex save is lowered. Its ranged attacks, its sort of reflex-based or dexterity-based skills are down. And then stunned, more importantly, you can't act while stunned. And so you lose...
those actions.
I just lose those actions. So I only get one action, and then I gain one back per turn.
Yeah.
Per round, basically.
Yeah, but let me go back to the bottled sunlight, because I don't know. I just feel like Aldo would know how it actually works. And it is... bottled sunlight, when you make it, you can... with an interact action, you just shake it, and it causes it to glow for 1 hour. It sheds bright light in a 20-foot radius. And it can be thrown like a bomb, or you can just hold out the light. Now, well, are we saying that that's not going to have the same effect? I mean, it's bright light. It's not normal light. Is it not sunlight? Is that what it has to be, or...?
Well, but if it's sunlight, it's sunlight. Like, we're sunlight. No,
bright light is sunlight. Bright light, such as sunlight, creatures and objects, blah, 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 blah. Some types of creatures are dazzled or blinded by bright light. Okay.
Well, this is interesting. Aldo, would you be interested in, I feel like I'm bargaining here, taking away one of those attacks and having the second one be you just hold that thing and create this radius to make that a persistent, clumsy and stunned?
I'll do that, yeah.
Okay, I'll give it back a little damage, but then this radius around you is going to be enough to... it's certainly going to keep it away from you.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay. So it's like, he's like Sam Gamgee holding up the file of Galadriel.
Yes.
Yeah, away from her, you filth.
If only any of our listeners understood what
I know. It's not a lot of crossover between Lord of the Rings fans and people who like... role-playing games.
Sorry, Skid. You're going to have to save those references for another show. All right, yeah, wow. Now look at the difference there. It puts all of your heroes.
Oh!
Nice.
Yes. What a heroic move. Okay. It's awesome. I love having the one specific thing that is so appropriate.
Yeah,
like
it's
this.
So rare, it's so, and precious, too, to have that.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. All right, so it's turn. I'm going to move up right to the edge of this. Wow, this really fucks everything for me. it's weird. So now I want to attack Atticus, but as my attack goes in, my attack will be clumsy. You know, it's essentially like the arm is going to be clumsy as it goes in. So it's a little bit tricky here in terms of how I'm going to rule it, but I'm going to go ahead and try and attack you, like reaching through with a spectral hand, and I'm going to give myself a penalty to do so. All right, still probably going to be a hit there, Atticus. That is going to be a 20. No, excuse me, that wouldn't be a hit. A 30.
Yeah, that is a hit.
But not a crit.
But not a crit.
Okay, a lot of damage. 18 points of negative energy damage. And now you have to roll a fortitude save.
Oh, come on, man. You know, this goes back to last week. No one's going to remember this. But when I flew over there to do that lightning bolt, I was like, I'm so scared to do this. And this was the exact reason. Because I knew right out from that sail was going to come a wraith. And it was going to suck my life right out of me. I thought with a 27 initiative, I'd be all right. But apparently not. What do I need again?
Fortitude save.
Fortitude. All right, come on, buddy. Come on. 28. Can't do much better than that.
You're all right.
Okay.
However, as it hit you, you could see, like, as you were losing energy, it was feeding off your lost energy and making itself stronger. It has one more action.
No, it doesn't. It was stunned. It didn't have... It couldn't even do that, right? He hit it with an attack.
Yes, but I'm changing it to the glow. However, what I'll say is that the way I'm resolving weird situation, in grabbing you, it's going to lose its final action. Or, like, in trying to attack you, it's going to lose its final action.
As it crosses into the light.
As it crosses into... Walk towards the light!
To the light!
All right, it is... I'm happy with that ruling. It's Suki's turn.
All right. Suki is going to, seeing what Aldo's doing, take a note from his book, take a page from his book, and she is going to cast Disrupt Undead, heightened to my fourth level, at the Wraith.
Oh, nice.
So you need to make a basic fortitude save.
All right.
As awesome. She releases some light energy, some positive energy toward her.
Don't care for that. All right, so I get a bonus to saves versus positive, which I will take. And that's still a very, very bad roll. 17?
Oh, that absolutely, no.
Is it a critical fail or just a regular?
25 is my DC, so.
Okay, so pretty close. All right, so that's going to be full damage.
Yep.
Nice.
Disrupt undead.
Nice. Suki!
Disrupt your face!
Disrupt your face!
12 plus 3 positive.
All right, we'll call it 15. Let me ask you this.
I don't know why it says it like that, because it's all positive.
It doesn't have a weakness to positive energy damage?
No, it's just positive energy doesn't... It's resistant to a bunch of things.
To everything else. Yeah. It's the one it's positive. Not resistant to.
Yeah.
It's got double resistance against other things. Let me ask you this. What are the traits of that spell?
It is...
I can't imagine this would matter where it's 4 undead, but it's it does have some...
I don't think there are any special traits. The critical success, they take no damage. Critical failure, double damage.
It would be right. It's right next to the name of the spell, like right under it. Cantrip, necromancy, and positive. Those are the traits.
Then yes, those are the traits.
Yes.
Cantrip, necromancy, positive, primal.
Primal. That's right, because you're casting it as a druid. Okay, great. Yeah. So yeah, that was rude, is really what it was. Do you have any other actions?
That takes 2, and then my second or my third action is just my command animal for when Pepsi goes.
Okay.
That's it.
Pepsi will be going soon. You, what is it, like a mind connection? You're like...
Yes. Well, Pepsi's my companion, so yeah, they just know. We practice these routines all the time.
That's cool. From your time in the circus together.
No.
It is. That's what you told me in your backstory. Atticus, no. It's your turn.
Different character.
It's a different character. You fool.
Atticus, what would you like to do?
Atticus will... He's going to fly away from this creature. Freaked out. He's going to fly away. He's going to fly up into the air... above the deck, above, you know, kind of up by where the sails are. And he'll go over Aldo. He'll go right
if
over
you
Aldo.
Mind, of course, with typical Joe O'Brien luck, this creature does have an attack of opportunity.
Oh, no.
And we'll take that reaction.
Oh, no.
And he, so like 25% of enemies have attacks of opportunity and only Joe provokes them. Oh boy, yeah, that's definitely a hit. It's higher than what I rolled last time. Give me another fortitude save. Oh,
that's a fail.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 16.
Couple things are going to happen. First, you're going to take 18 points of negative energy damage. Same exact roll as last time. It regains hit points yet again from the attack on you. And you are drained 1. Drained is brutal. drained is automatically going to lose hit points and have your hit point threshold go down. Obviously, when you put that in your character sheet, it'll do that math for you. Sorry to interrupt you, though. Continue with your turn.
All right, so now near death in one round with, like, next to nothing happening. He is going
to... And two madnesses back home.
He's going to fly over the middle of the deck, about 25 feet over Aldo. And then I want to do... this is retroactive to last session because I didn't get an action because of your dramatic retelling of the end. But I had another action on my turn, which I wanted to use for a knowledge roll on this denizen of Lang. I know I had seen one before, and, you know...
You talked about last week when we did the cinematic ending, you wanted to use another action.
No, yeah, like, I had my turn. I shot That's it. Fine. And killed it, and then I had one more action. I want to know something about this denizen of Lang, so I just wanted to roll a knowledge. It was Arcana or Occult. It doesn't matter. I can do either.
Either should work.
All right, I'll do Arcane or Arcana, and that is a 31. And what I'm looking for is to... I want to know if it has any particular resistance to mental damage.
Okay. It does not. But I will tell you, with such a high roll, it has a resistance to critical hits and to precision damage.
Okay. So he would have shared that. Yeah, he'll share that with the team as he's flying by, his life draining before your very eyes. He'll be dead and around. He has to lay it all on the line now because it's all over. And he looks across at this tricorn hat captain, hoping that one of his allies that survives the dream can walk away. His hat. And he looks across at the captain, and his head goes down, and his eyes sort of like vanish into his head and become just black holes of nothing. And this guy just hears this horrible, twisted voice from Atticus that's just like, "I see your mind." And he is going to cast Phantasmal Killer.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So it's just whatever you can narrate it, Troy, whatever this guy's worst nightmare is, like, it emanates from Atticus directly toward him.
Such a flying rat.
He's afraid of flying rat.
He's afraid of flying rat.
With holes for eyes. That's what he's afraid of.
I've been having this nightmare since I was a child.
Wow, I like this. I imagine he has this vision, because you look down at the ship while you're standing, because you have a really good view while you're up there. You see the blood red sails, the wood is all this old, dark, gnarled wood, and there's open hatches on the deck of the ship that allow a view below to rowing benches, and there's manacles on the seat of every single rowing bench. So you know from your own knowledge of denizens of Lang, like, these are, they're slavers is what they are, as denizens, you know, these creatures. And so he imagines this moment of all his indentured servants, like, uprising and
cool,
pulling him below deck. And
he sees this That's moment. Awesome. How terrifying. And then he rolls a will save.
Will save, okay. Natural 2.
Yes!
Alright, so that's still going to be... I'm tipping my hand here by letting you know what his actual will is. But that's a 21.
Oh my god. Shit. Okay. Man, come on! That was so close. Alright. So he is going to take some damage here. It's a good start, LaValle. That is a good freaking start. He takes 8d6 mental damage.
Oh, nice.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was awesome. Essentially. All right, so it's a total of 32 mental damage, and he is frightened 2.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Nice. This horrible. They're pulling him below decks, finally getting their revenge. And he feels it. I mean, he really feels it. This illusion is one of the most horrible things that could ever happen to you. Had he rolled one number less, he would then have to roll a fortitude save. If he rolled a natural 1, he'd have to roll a fortitude save. Fail that. Just fail. He dies.
He dies
on the
yeah.
spot.
Yeah. So, I love The 2E Phantasmal Killer. Awesome. So Frightened 2, I'll take a status penalty to all my checks and DCs, and then it goes down for each round. But Frightened 2 right out the gate before he's even acted is brutal. Just a side note, obviously Paizo has removed slavery from all mention of games from here on out. This is a previous AP and it's still in there. Not going to make a big deal out of it, but it's more to let you know the gravity of the situation, how evil these denizens of Lang are. Now it is Ethel's turn.
Okay, Ethel is going to step up to the captain. Right, we're both on the deck, right?
Like when he came out of the sail, he just kind of like gently levitated to the ground, whereas the Wraith is floating right above the deck.
I'm going to step right up to the captain, and I'm going to reach out and try to take the tricornered hat right off.
You son of... You love taking gifts!
I knew it!
Big Ethel marching up. I love it.
This is a disarm check, and because of the frightened, there's a status penalty to DC, so I imagine sure the reflex DC goes down as well.
So it's my reflex DC, right? Okay. Yeah, it'll be a -2 to that for me, so I'll tell you.
Yeah, so I imagine Ethel coming up to him to make this move, and
with
you don't
hammer.
See anything, Ethel. Like, you don't see any of this illusion. You just see him looking around him and just screaming in horror. Like,
pluck the hat off.
I'm going to give you the DC, just so you know.
Yeah.
Still 29.
29. Okay.
Wow.
50-50 shot of succeeding
by rolling that six.
But a success on a disarm does not mean I take it. I get a +2 bonus until the start of that creature's turn.
That's right.
To disarm the target of that item, get a +2 circumstance bonus, and the target takes a -2 circumstance penalty to attacks with the item, which doesn't apply here.
Right, because he's like, no, that's my hat! Get out of here!
He's trying to attack you.
You also have guidance, which I gave you before in the previous episode. Okay. You have a little +1.
And don't forget, you have a bottle cap.
I know. Okay.
Yes, we all start with one. They reset from last week. You guys didn't use your caps last week. They reset every week, so everyone's back to one cap. The same thing happened in Sarnath. Obviously, that had a horrible ending, but you tried to disarm there.
What did you say the DC was?
29.
Okay. I'll pull back the curtain. I have succeeded, but I haven't critically succeeded. So I'm like, do I take the cap? Do I use the cap here?
I mean, I don't know if you use a cap when the only thing that will change it is a natural 20. You know what I mean? Like,
no. So I, you know what? I succeed.
Okay.
So now I'm going to do it again with my final action.
Hey.
I get a
+2, but I lose the guidance.
It's like. You're like swiping at the hat. Give me that hat.
Give me that hat.
Give me that hat.
I don't think so. That'll be 31.
All right, so that's a success.
That's a regular success.
Success, yeah.
Yeah. So I until the beginning of his next turn, any of you can try to grab it, and you get a +2.
And he takes a -2 while trying to hold on to it, or that is
he
only
takes a
-2
penalty to attacks with it, which he's not attacking.
If I was taking the hat and be like, he's out of here, you!
He's not the skipper. So, damn it, Gilligan!
Gilligan!
-2.
We only get the hat if we critically success?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's meant to be hard. If you wanted to steal a big bad dude's hat, it should be really hard, but not impossible. Not impossible.
Yeah, I think it's meant to be a lot easier if you're trying to disarm like a lower level combatant than you, but like disarm a boss is like really where it gets difficult.
And then just remind me, because Joe, Atticus just did another check on the captain. Is the captain also undead, or
I meant to ask that too. Is he also incorporeal? Or is he corporeal?
No, you can see. You can't see through him like you can.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if he's undead. Denizens of Leg are not undead, right? They're like...
No, they're from the plane of Leg.
Are they outsiders? They're outsiders, right? If they're from another plane, they're by definition outsiders.
Leg is in the dreamland, or in the dimension of dreams. It's like a part of the dimension of dreams. I'm pretty sure. At least it is in Pathfinder lore. I could be wrong, Colin.
You know what? I'm going to look up Denizen of Lang and all of its stats real quick. I'll get the answer for you.
Wait till never. This is an important enemy.
How about never?
It is Pepsi's turn.
All right, Pepsi is going to slither up to the captain and take an attack with his jaws.
Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question, Sydney?
Yeah?
What's Pepsi's athletics skill?
Pepsi's got a +13.
Pepsi has a chance.
You could try to steal the hat.
With a nat 20, right?
All right, you know what?
Plus 13, and it's a 21. It's a
29.
Plus 2.
You just need a natural 20.
15, yeah, you'd have to get a natural
20. Have to get a natural 20, which might be a waste of a turn, so people might say.
Yeah, I am. Pepsi only gets two actions.
And you got to move up as
and
one
I have
action.
To move up.
Some people who provoked an attack of opportunity are about to die. Is it those people be the one we're talking about?
I definitely let's get the hat and get out of here. So definitely do that.
Pepsi's going to move up and take a bite. If I had three actions, I would try to take the hat and also take a bite. But let me do some damage at least, hopefully.
Okay.
Or find out if this thing's undead and maybe do no damage. Who knows? All right.
Strike away, Pepsi.
That's going to be a 23 to hit.
Miss.
Okey-dokey. So, guys.
Was there a delay in the Skype call, or are you just being an a-hole?
Suki says, well, a 23 won't hit, so you'll have to go higher, because Pepsi just told me that.
That's what she
Thumbs
says.
Thumbs up.
It is the captain's turn.
Will you move, Troy, will you just move Pepsi so I don't forget where
Pepsi
I'm
sorry,
is?
I'll give you Pepsi power after this.
Give me Pepsi power.
I'll give you Pepsi power. It is the captain's turn, but before we do that, let's take a quick break. Now I have to decide what to do here. Got a lot of options. As I said, you missed but didn't critically miss, so that removes an image.
Oh, I forgot about the images.
Yes, there are. Did somebody already take an image away from him or no? I have it written that they did, but I don't remember.
No, I don't think anybody's attacked him, right? But
No.
So two images is correct. Okay, so Pepsi did remove an image, so it wasn't for naught. Okay, well, who's right next to me? Ethel, of course. Of course! I'm frightened too. You see, He reaches at his face and pulls down his veil that is barely covering his mouth. And he's got this, like... Remember Baraka from Mortal Kombat?
No.
Well, he's got a mouth like Baraka. It's just this, like, alien-type jaw with long, sharp, like, knives for teeth. And he goes to bite you.
What the hell is he?
He's a denizen of Lang. that is going to be a 31 to hit.
Yes.
And a couple of things are going to happen. First, we'll roll some damage. Not too bad. 17 points of piercing damage.
Oh.
And now I need a fortitude save.
Okay.
He bites you. And I mean, it's so sharp. It goes into your skin and you're just like, oh! Oh!
34 on the fortitude save.
You're all right. Whatever effect this debilitating bite had does not affect you. It's funny, the bite has two traits, curse and a cult.
Oh, wow.
Uh-oh.
That's some dark shit.
some dark shit. Has two actions left. The second thing he is going to do... Does casting a spell provoke? I can't remember.
You know, I still don't know. Like, I was looking at it. It doesn't say specifically, I believe, that it does. I was just looking this up. Does it have the manipulate trait? The spells have manipulate traits? They have, you know...
Casting a spell does not...
Yeah, it doesn't say it specifically. But it seems to me like...
Well, this says material, somatic, and focus components of spells have the manipulate trait, so they do provoke.
Yeah, yeah, if they have that manipulate trait, then... try to figure it out.
This one has... Oh, it's a mental spell. It does not have... it has somatic components, though. So somatic...
That shouldn't provoke, right? Just talking? I'm sorry. You said somatic.
That's verbal. Somatic is like moving his body around. So that's supposed to provoke? Because that sucks. But I'm right there, and you're right there. It's going to... Well, Pepsi doesn't have an attack of opportunity. It's just shitty that, like, the one person with the AO is right there. But if somatic provokes, go ahead and take your attack of opportunity.
With the Warhammer. Don't worry about it. It's a natural 2. 21.
Okay. Wow. That's a rare...
Yeah, oh, there it is. Yep. A somatic
provokes.
Somatic component is a specific hand movement or gesture that generates a magical nexus. The spell gains the manipulate trait and requires you to make gestures.
Makes sense. I mean, it happened in 1E. We're not going to get away with that for free.
Right. It's funny it hasn't come up because there's so many fewer attacks of opportunity in 2E. And, I mean, we've just rarely been had casters in melee. So,
yeah.
Very true. Go ahead and give me a will save, Matthew.
Is this a fear effect?
It is not. But it's mental.
Natural 2.
Oh, no. Buddy, give me the full John on that.
16.
That's a critical failure.
Oh, no. No. Why is it always the fighter? The best one!
This is a little fifth level spell called Phantom Pain. Oh. So you take 8 points of mental damage. You will take 4 points of persistent mental damage on your turn. And you are sickened 2.
Okay. Could be worse.
Do I take That's it bad. At the end of my turn?
You take the 8 damage now, and you'll take the 4 at the end of your turn. And that's going to happen every turn. 4 mental damage. It's just this phantom pain that's itching.
Yeah, but you get a roll, right, every turn. And you could spend an action to shake it off, right? Or to get a better chance on the roll.
Well, I'll tell you, I have 4 hit points left. So...
How odd. That is the exact number of damage that you'll take.
I mean, also, doesn't it keep ticking even if you have the dying condition? Like, you'll just...
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah, so I wonder, were you saying, do you get the flat check to remove it if you are unconscious?
I think you do. I think you always get the flat check to stop persistent damage. DC 15.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that says, as long as you're conscious, you get that flat check. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. You're going to take the 4 no matter what and go to 0.
Unless I heal. Well, I'll take the 4 no matter what, but I couldn't heal. But
There's some options here, but that also forces your allies, if they want to heal you, to take themselves out of the fight. Very interesting situation! it is Eris's turn. Eris.
Cool. What's happened?
Sorry.
What?
Did you double that damage? Is that a flat 4? Is that part of the spell?
Yeah, so the way the spell's worded is you just take max damage when you fail. You take full initial and persistent, and with critical failure, it's just the same, but you're sickened 2 instead of sickened 1.
Oh,
okay. It's no double damage. It's part of the text of the spell.
Got it. Okay.
Joe always trying to hurt his buddy.
It just says you always... Persistent, like normal damage, persistent damage can be doubled or halved depending on the saving throw or whatever, or the attack. Anyway, go ahead.
This captain guy is frightened too right now?
I'm so sorry, Kate.
Oh.
I made a mistake.
What?
This was Phantom Pain. I just gave you the damage if that was a first level spell. This is heightened to 5th.
Oh, he's dead.
So here's what happens. You take enough damage. I mean, I'll tell you what the damage was going to be. It's 20 points of regular damage.
Yeah, so I'm unconscious.
Too. So you're unconscious, and because it was a critical failure, you're dying too.
Okay.
Right, I forgot that it was heightened to 5. I was like,
just give myself 8. Next one, 8.
So you should go right to dying too. You have diehard, so you'll live forever. But that persistent, John, that's going to be a persistent 20 points of damage.
20 points of damage each turn?
Yes. It's maxed out. In failure, it's maxed out. It would have been a straight 20. But now it's... Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
I'm reading this spell.
Wait, I'm sorry. The initial mental damage is 2d4, which is 8 times 5. It's 40 damage right off the bat. And a persistent 20, yeah. But just to show you the severity of this, Phantom Pain is a first level spell. The damage increases by 2d4, and the persistent damage increases by 1d4. So it's 5d4 persistent, 8d4 mental, and they're both maxed out because of failure and because of critical failure.
Wait, you said the spell was heightened, though? Or
it was heightened, yeah.
Oh, was heightened. I was going to say, that's an insane first-level spell.
Level, it's 2d4 and 1d4, not too bad. Okay. But where it's maxed out, it's 40 points of regular and 20 points of persistent. So... Ethel is at dying 2 with a persistent damage that could kill him. And now, sorry, Eris, we've been waiting all episode to hear from you.
Listen, there's not a lot that I can do anymore. I've used a lot of my spell slots, and the captain, I think, already has frightened two on him, right?
He does.
Okay.
One actually, now, it's down to frightened one, yeah.
All right. Maybe this won't be a waste, then. I'm going to cast Impending Doom on him.
Impending Doom?
So you would roll a will save.
A will save, you
We're
say?
We're gonna try to up those visions that Atticus is giving him.
Yeah.
No!
Sorry, sorry. I don't think you're reading this right.
Me or you?
Are you reading full initial damage as max initial damage? Because I think you just roll and you take full damage. It's not flat 40 unless there's some other
thing. I'm sorry. I'm maxing it instead of full.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll matter where you only have four hit points.
What they mean by full is just not halved like you normally have with some saves. You take full damage, which means you still roll it. It's not max damage.
Okay, so it's 5d4, and you have four hit points.
I was at 12 before you gave me any damage.
Okay, thank you, Joe. I'm sorry, Eris.
You're still going to go down, but you roll the persistent damage.
There's a chance.
He might not.
Well, but it's 10d4. If it's heightened to fifth level, it's 2d4 every level.
All right, so as long as I don't roll 10 ones. All right, you're dying too. Because it was a crit.
What's you, the persistent damage?
The persistent damage is 5d4 each round.
So he wrote, but he should roll it. It's not just 20 damage.
For sure. You roll it each round.
Okay. Thank you. I read that as max when I saw full, but I forgot it was the. Okay.
Got it. Sorry. Sorry, Eris. Sorry, Kate.
Yeah, it's good to get it right. We'll figure it out. All right, will save. So you want a will save, do you, Kate?
Yes, please.
Okay, 34.
Cool, that's a success, which means you're not affected for this round. But next round, maybe you will be.
Okay. I don't care for that. I don't care for that one bit. Was that a three action, John, or a
it's
one
a
action?
It's a three action thing.
Impending Doom is just two actions.
Well, it's two actions to cast. Mm-hmm. But it lasts for three, like it's a three round effect.
Oh, so you have to, are you saying you have to use an action to for it to maintain?
It doesn't say that there's like a sustained thing about it.
So you still have an action left.
It's just an action.
Yes.
Two actions to cast that spell.
Yeah, so that's what I do, and you see me do something, but nothing happens. Or maybe you don't see me do anything, because I'm not on the same boat as you. And then I point my sights at this witchy lady over here. And I go, you're next. And I'm trying to demoralize her.
Ooh.
With my intimidate.
Suki?
No, not me. Right.
She points to
witchy?
Suki. You're next.
You're next, honey. I turn around. Also, I love that Eris, like, draped in all her black, like, wispy clothing, and then this other witchy woman. It is like, she's like,
there can only be one.
Yeah, there can only be one. Yeah.
Witch on witch.
Witch on witch,
what a witch.
With my intimidate. Let's see. Ooh, natural 17. I got a plus 14, which means that's a 31.
Yes,
my intimidate.
Witch!
Are you demoralized?
What's the DC? It's
will DC, right? Or
yes, your target's will DC.
24 is my will DC.
Oh,
wait, so that's a critical?
Nice.
Does that matter? I don't. Yes,
no,
you become frightened too.
It's not a critical. It's just a success. It's just a success.
Yeah, I got a 31.
31. Yeah.
31.
Yeah. 31.
Oh, has to be 10 over.
So you're frightened one.
Frightened one.
And then I get like
the
extra
ghost
buffs
is frightened
if
one.
Something is demoralized against me as
okay.
well.
Ah.
I am not immune to frightened. So the wraith is scared, evidently.
Of Eris. I would be too.
Hey, I'm sorry. Oh, God. We're going back. I'm trying, Matthew. I'm pulling out all the stops. Did you factor in that he's frightened too on the DC that Matthew fumbled on?
He rolled a natural 2.
Right. Okay. So even with the minus 2 on the DC, it was still resulted in a fumble?
The minus 2 on the DC of my guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Matthew rolled a 16 total.
Yes.
All right, so it was higher than 28, the initial DC.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously... This is the guy. He's wearing the hat.
Okay.
He's got eyes.
This is the guy. He's got the hat.
This is the guy with the hat.
This is the guy with the hat. Okay. All right, so it's demoralized. It's frightened one. Whew. It is an interesting moment here. I'm looking at my Skype screen. Joe, you're number one. Matthew, you're two. Skid, you're three. Kate, you're 4. Sydney, you're 5. Let's see what happens. And of course, I rolled a 2, which is Matthew. Suddenly, oh, this is interesting. Suddenly, the yardarm, how would you say it?
The yardarm
of the ship, like you hear this, swings around and smashes into you, Ethel.
He's prone. He's dying on the ground. No, there's no way. It can't be him.
A yardarm can't go down.
Oh, that's right. You're prone. You're prone. I forgot.
You're not killing him tonight. He's
all right. So you're not you're prone. So it's not going to trick you.
That means Pepsi's ineligible as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't even count him, he's a player too.
Atticus is also 25 feet in the air. I don't know if is this thing moving up and down, or is it at the height of people that are standing at the bottom?
And Eris isn't even on the boat.
Yeah. You've talked me into it. It's Suki.
I'm trying to push
something. That's fine. I'll take it. It's, I mean, like, it's the mechanics.
All right. It swings around and hits Suki. This is going to be an athletics check against your fortitude DC. What's your fortitude plus 10?
And Suki's right on the edge of the boat.
That's going to be plus 10, a 23.
All right. It succeeds with a 31. The yardarm smacks you, knocks you into the water.
Oh
no. We haven't gone into the water yet with the weird fish.
So you go,
God.
Bah!
Damn it.
Suki goes in the drink.
In the drink!
I think comedically she sees it coming, you know, like POV shot in a comedy movie, and you just hear her go, shit. And then she just gets smacked and, like, knocked back.
This is like a Pirates of the Caribbean moment.
Yes. It's Johnny Depp going, oh, no. And then hits me off the boat.
Oh, no.
I'm going to need more rum.
Arnar.
Smacks you into the water. That's the end of round one. We come back to Aldo. Aldo still emanating sunlight all around him from his alchemical concoction.
Aldo, holding the bottle of sunlight aloft, is going to move a bit closer to the Wraith to block her off.
That's fucking awful.
Getting her in the radius.
So bad for me.
Back, you devil! And he is going to, with his free hand, reach into his bandolier and pull out a different bomb and throw it. That is a 26.
26 against this person. That is a hit.
Yes. Okay. So he hits her with a moderate ghost charge.
Ah, a little ghost touch position. Little ghost touch jump.
Yes. So that is... very nice. That is 17 points of positive damage.
Okay, all goes through. And right now, in the area of sunlight, it is clumsy 2, stunned 2, and frightened 1 from Eris's demoralization.
Amazing.
So it's just this...
This is awful.
And I'm going to try it again. That is... it's a 21 to hit.
21 to hit is a miss.
Okay, so that's just 4 points of splash, positive splash damage.
Yeah, how great is that to have positive splash?
Yeah. That's really lucky. I only have a handful of these sort of wild card things that I can use at this point, but yeah.
That's wonderful. Okay, all right, so now that thing is in real bad shape, and it's turned, and so stun 2 means I only have 1 action?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, so, and while it's clumsy, it's just kind of like... like clumsily lurches up. To Aldo. Can we once again just look at this thing close up for a second? This thing should not be frightened, clumsy and stunned.
It certainly should not be frightened.
All right, it is Suki's turn.
Okay, so I'm in the water.
Yes, and you know all the rules for drowning and swimming. Thank you. I never got a chance to look that up today. I'm glad that you came fully equipped.
Yeah, I emailed them to you earlier with a description and everything, just in case this happened. but have no fear, because I'm going to use my 2 actions to turn into an aerial form, and I turn into a fucking petrosaur.
Oh, cool.
Whoa!
What? You can't just make up creatures.
What's a petrosaur?
How do you even spell it?
It's a pterosaur, I think.
Pterosaur.
They call it a petrosaur in the animal, but
is there a letter between the P and the T?
Oh, no.
That's my question.
No, it's just a P and then a T. Is it pronounced
right, so I think it's the same one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Oh, is it like
it's the flying opossum? Dinosaur.
Yes.
Sure.
This terrifying, you know what? By the way.
If that helps you, yes.
You know what this is? What is the thing that I said in A&A that was science? It was like something. Oh.
Pre-science.
Pre-science. Yeah.
How do you say, somebody write the word pterodactyl. I want to see how you swing.
Stop. This is like reading in front of the class. I got excited and I was just reading it right off the bat. It's a pterosaur. Thank you. But here's my question, Troy.
Yes.
So that takes they fly.
And they fly when their wings are wet.
Yes, it's a dinosaur.
Yeah, they're diving animals. They were marine hunters. They would dive into the water to grab prey and fly out. So they're uniquely suited to this situation.
They were the pelicans of prehistory.
I was about exactly. to say. I'm
you
a
know
prehistory.
Who can't fly when pelicans. Wet is a bumblebee.
Oh.
Good thing I didn't.
That helps you? Great.
Good thing I didn't turn into that.
Did you ever piss on a bumblebee?
No.
We're back to the.
You'll never fly again, you son of a bitch. You're the queen.
I don't have anything to say about it. Zip.
Honey, are you drunk pissing on bumblebees again?
Okay, so my question is then, I have to move to get out of the water. I have to use my third action to move above the water line, right? Like.
Yeah, so two actions is the transformation, and then your third action is to fly out of the water. That's fine, yeah.
Okay, so
you
then
fly at an angle in a certain direction. You know, you haven't fully sunk yet. You basically just hit the water, and seconds later, you transform and fly out, so you can go your full complement.
Yeah, I wanted to surprise the Captain Voudra. So I don't think I'm going to fly my full distance. I think I fly back up just to the edge of the boat. I don't want anybody to know I'm coming back. They think okay. They fell in the water. So.
Okay. They won't be surprised if this giant flying dinosaur comes in. But you were hidden before, and then you came sneaking over, and it was all this other stuff. But all right, well, we'll see what happens. There's a big sail there. It is Atticus's turn. Atticus, what are you thinking here?
Oh, no. I am thinking. Oh, I'm having a hard time thinking. So we just have the one left. Is that where we're at?
Well, you feel like you've pretty much neutralized this wraith. I mean, you've done your homework to know that Clumsy 2 and Stun 2, this thing is going to be, it's going to be very difficult for it to do any actual damage. So you're left with the captain who has been slinging spells. And, you know, Ethel is about to die. So there's a lot of bad situations here.
Oh, God, I am so angry. This is just rough because I'm, I just don't know what to do. I'm trying to pull out, try to pull this rabbit out of my hat that's going to, like, get exactly what Ethel needs to.
Is hit points the answer?
Yeah, I can't heal. I'm just trying to divert, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have to be too worried about him just killing Ethel. Ethel's going to die on his own. Now he's going to turn his attention to you if you don't kick him out. Or to Pepsi!
Right.
Not Pepsi.
Not Pepsi. This is tough. Was he crushing fools?
Yeah, he's got crazy magic. He's a bad man.
And he's what for one more round?
I think that's a mirror image on him, isn't it?
Oh! I thought we had something else on him.
I think
like
you're right because I used a different symbol. But
he has impending doom round one.
And
something else because I know Atticus. I think I don't remember.
I don't know. I need to like make a key of what all these symbols are.
I know.
Are.
It's
really
the
fun
symbols.
To put like a splash symbol of this.
I don't know. So if I don't know what they mean, it doesn't really help.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think Atticus is going to move. He's got to fly. So, actually, he doesn't really have to. He's going to... all right, he will fly. He'll just fly over a little bit to the south near Suki, but above. He's about 25 feet up. And actually, he'll move over to the east a little bit, too, so that he's below Aldo and okay. To the east of Suki. Because he wants to stay within that light, but he's going to stay at the top end of the sphere of light that Aldo is casting. So he will move over there. My roll 20 is down again, but I'll get there. And then he's going to cast a spell on the ground next to the guy who's next to Ethel, and looking at Pepsi and this, you know, boa or this constrictor snake right up on him. He's going to make this guy think that we are going to have swarming snakes on him. So right next to him, flanking Pepsi, is going to be another constrictor snake. Is going Ooh. To like appear to have crawled up over the boards right at this guy.
Dope.
Should we call him the new Pepsi?
We'll call him Crystal Pepsi.
Crystal Pepsi.
He has like a crystal sheen to
him. Yes. He's clear, kind of see-through, no color.
All right, so a totally real snake appears on the other side of Pepsi.
Yeah.
And Pepsi says, "Brother." Just kidding, he can't talk. He's a snake.
All right, two snakes. Snakes on a boat. You've heard of snakes on a plane. It's Ethel's turn. Ethel, you are at dying two.
I'm dying too. I'm going to use my hero point to stabilize and go to zero hit points, right?
You will go to zero, but don't forget you will, regardless of the results of the save, take damage at the end of your turn.
Yes. So why? But I can only use the hero point after I fail the save, right? It's when you would take damage, then you can use the hero point, or when you would go to dying three. Is that not the rule?
You're right. This came up in a live show, and my brain is just...
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. Right? I wasn't listening. But I think... but I do believe
all your hero points
I do believe you
death.
Said once you fail the roll is when you use the hero points.
Wait. But as soon as you die, you spend all your hero points to lose the dying condition, stabilize with zero, and you don't increase your wounded condition.
Yeah, but first of the... You can only do this when your dying condition... You can do this when your dying condition would increase. So right now, you have to roll your fortitude save.
I roll
first.
My fortitude save. And then, the ideal situation is I make my fortitude save and then take the damage, and then I can use my hero points to stabilize. That would be the ideal situation.
Well, let's see what happens.
Exactly.
Let's see what happens.
So your fortitude save is DC 12, right? Because it's 10 plus your dying condition, which is 2.
Okay. 20.
Oh!
Okay. Wait, is it a fortitude save? Why am I... That seems too easy, right?
The
dying condition?
Easy.
It's a yeah. flat check.
It's a flat check. So
I thought you were rolling on that sustained damage or whatever. So,
so it's a DC 12 flat checked.
Then I failed.
You failed. Oh. All right. So you go to dying three. And so...
Yes. I will not use my hero point. And now I will take the damage.
Okay, now you'll take the damage, which would take you immediately to dying four.
But I have diehard, so that's fine. And now I will spend my hero points, my one hero point, to stabilize.
All right, so you're at zero points, and you lose the dying condition entirely. You don't gain the wounded condition.
Wait, why use it now?
I'm at dying four. That's why.
Yeah, he failed his save to stabilize.
But you can use it when you would go down again. So if
I did. That's exactly what I did.
No, you went to dying three. Then you used it and went to dying four. Aren't you diehard?
No, I went to dying three. I went to dying three, and then when I took the damage from the persistent damage from the what he hit me with, it took me to dying four. In which at that point I used the hero point to stabilize.
Right. I'm just saying, if you don't, you could take another thing of damage before using those points.
Whereas I also could if it's my next turn, I could just die.
Or AoE damage or anything like this is...
And you could spend your hero points to stabilize immediately at that point. I feel like I'm crazy.
I feel like you're crazy too. I'm doing it now.
Yeah. You don't gain the wounded condition or increase its value from losing the dying condition in this way. But if you already had that condition, you don't lose it or decrease its value. So you're at zero.
Zero. Points,
no dying condition. But the persistent damage will continue. And so you will...
Right. So if you don't use the points now, you get another round of persistent damage, essentially. Because this one's now going to send you to two. Whereas it would send you to five, and you heal back to zero, and then you.
I'm hoping that one of my allies intervenes, or we kill the guy in the interim.
Okay.
Am I sickened too still, Troy?
This was from the. I'm trying to remember, was this? This was from Phantom Pain, right?
Yeah.
That was nasty.
I, like crit failed on that.
That's right. Yeah, you're sickened too. Now, does sickened go down each round?
No.
Or no, you have to sleep that off.
Not to my knowledge.
Does it? Does. Falling unconscious count?
Sleeping it off.
Nice restful coma.
Nice restful concussion.
Sorry, you know, it's so funny, like, of all the things, the dying, when we get to dying, it's always like, hold on, how's this working again?
I literally read it between sessions and before the previous session, and I still, it just like passed right through me.
It's also the problem with playing the playtest, because they changed it, and I still have the playtest rules in my head. But whatever, it is. It's Pepsi's turn. Old Pepsi.
Pepsi doesn't get to do anything because I couldn't command animal on my last turn. I used all three actions.
Pepsi That's... original recipe's turn is over.
Kind of shitty, but is what it is.
Now it's the captain's turn. Oh, captain, my captain.
Not my captain.
He's gonna cast a will. Gonna cast a will save. Take that, instead of a gun. Suki, you are a
no
pterodactyl.
Can't see me.
Pterosaur.
Yeah, I can't see me.
Why can't I see you? Invisible?
No, I didn't come above the boat. I said I stayed hidden.
Yeah, that's right. You did stay hidden. Okay. Atticus, you're flying up there. Aldo, I need you to count. Cast a will save. I can't even think. Aldo, would you please cast a will save?
Yes.
Have you not read the rule book?
17.
Oh, Nelly. Is that a... That's a critical fail.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay. That's not good. That's the second critical fail this combat. That was a little spell called Suggestion.
Oh, come on with this.
And with critical failure, instead of lasting a minute, it lasts 1 hour. Cannot be self-destructive, cannot have any other obvious negative effects. And the suggestion is simple. You there, boy. Go below deck. Is what he says.
On your boat? On the blood boat?
On the blood boat?
On the blood wind.
Throw this out there. That seems self-destructive.
It's nice down there. There's manacles.
But they're very...
Double Iron Maidens?
They're highest quality manacles.
That is his first... his first two actions. He's got one more action... Want to use his Kupri or his Jaws? All right. Apple's right there. I got Pepsi and the new Pepsi. All right, I don't like being surrounded by snakes here, so I am going to... fuck, Suki's hidden. Atticus is flying. Eris is on the other boat. I've been forced to attack Pepsi. I will roll to see which Pepsi I attack. 1, 2, 3 is the real Pepsi. 4, 5, 6 is Pepsi new recipe. All right, looks like I'm going after Pepsi new recipe. So he goes to strike down at this new snake that just appeared. And Joe, you tell me what happens when he rolls a 36 to hit. The cool-looking Kukri.
A what? What did you roll?
Cool 36.
That is a critical hit. I don't understand this. It's so annoying. I don't know why everything can't just be easy to understand.
Do I have to roll like a will save to believe it's there?
Yes. But it doesn't say that. It says...
What is it called? Minor illusion?
It says, no. It says, when it hits it, when it hits it with a strike, it can attempt to disbelieve your illusion. When a creature disbelieves the illusion, it doesn't say, like, it's a will save. You know, I mean, I'm sure that's what it is, but just go ahead and roll a will save. The spell doesn't have a save attached to it because it is not a, it's not an illusory image. It is an actual, like, creature that is illusory in a way. But he can feel it, he can smell it, if he touches it, it's real.
Are you just making up the will save rule portion of this part, though?
Yeah. It literally doesn't say.
I feel like
it
hit it.
It does say, so in Archives of Nathas, disbelieving illusions, it does say it would be a will save, but...
Yeah, you'd have to look up generally disbelieving illusions.
Right, yeah, that's
so
what
that
it says.
References another part of the core.
Okay, yeah, it's 298.
Page 298. Yeah. Where's the core?
Oh, you got it, Sid?
It's behind.
All right, so... But all so right,
it's a sidebar. It's a small sidebar just specific to disbelieving.
Okay.
Yeah, just if the illusion is visual, blah, 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 blah.
Caster spell DC.
Okay, great. Here's my will save. Not a great roll, but he has very high will. It's going to be a 24.
That is a fail. So he believes he
critically
really hurt this snake. Yeah, okay. But that it's still there and still up.
I'll pretend roll some damage.
Really we'll funny. I got that good.
Yeah. All right, well, let me tell you something. You may not be out of this yet. Now Aldo's out of the combat. Ethel is dying. Suki's a dinosaur. Eris is on the other boat, and Atticus doesn't know what to do. And one snake is real, one isn't.
Classic Pathfinder situation.
It is Eris's turn. Eris, what can you do to save this mess?
First of all, your captain is flat-footed.
Check it and see.
From the impending doom.
Okay.
This is the round two of it. And then, did we hear Aldo be commanded to go below deck?
No, it's like I think it's a mental suggestion.
Okay.
Your honeyed words are difficult for creatures to resist. You suggest a course of action, which must be phrased in such a way as to seem like a logical course of action. I
mean, sounds like you had to talk
sounds
to
like
me.
Sounds like it's all out.
Go. Yeah, all right. Get rid of it.
Okay, well, because if that's the case, where on this boat is the door to go below deck?
It is, there's all these little hatches can be lifted.
Oh,
these little cross-hatched hatches.
What I was thinking is, like, give something with a bulk of, like, 4 feet and then have it sit on the door. But if there's 3 doors, so Eris...
There's a lot of options.
Yeah. Eris is going to jump to the next boat. Like so.
Okay. Flanking Ethel's dead body. You want to take that flank bone?
Let me say one thing here, Kate, before you continue your turn. The new Pepsi is dead.
Wait, it can actually die?
Yeah, well, it can actually die. The spell just ends, but the spell just ends.
Maybe he, like, hit Pepsi, and then the other snake died, and he was like, what sorcery is this?
Yeah. Well, what I think is, like, because he failed the save, I like the idea that he just thinks he killed a snake and then knocked it out of the way or whatever, and it's just, like, out of sight. The save is important because if he makes the save, he recovers part of the damage he took from the creature, but I didn't get a chance to attack him yet. But that's kind of a cool little detail. But yeah, I just saw it's one line in there in this wall of text. If it's hit by an attack, the spell ends. So there you go.
Okay. Well, you took him out of the action there for a second.
Yeah, I mean, I took one hit away from something else that mattered. So to me, that's worth a spell slot.
For sure. What are you thinking, Eris? That's one action to jump over there, to leap.
One action to jump over there. I feel like I want to be by Ethel to maybe, like, not that I want to tank, but I have more hit points than him. Maybe it'll distract the captain. Is it one move to jump over there?
Yeah, because it was the 5 feet, right, you said?
Yeah, I'm just doing... I'm letting you use the leap action. Imagine the boat is 5 feet closer and you can make that in one thing without taking a running athletics check.
Okay, and then I'm trying to decide if I want to do chicken poon again.
Because that's go a back free to the chicken poon. Well,
why wouldn't you?
Chicken poon the captain.
You know,
this captain's a classic begging mistake. For a chicken poon.
You ever seen Karate Kid Part 2? No. Yes. When Daniel tries to use the crane kick at the end of that movie, the guy just slaps it out of the way. That's chicken poon.
But telekinetic. Oh, I see.
Disheartening. So what in our game is the drum technique?
What is happening?
It was Eris's.
That must have looked so weird to Kate.
Yeah, Eris, you are the drum. Do you get it now?
No!
It's a movie. It's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It's a movie.
These people are in the movies.
Is your movie thing like a long held position, or is this something that in your adulthood you cultivate?
It was something in my adulthood. I realized I can do whatever I want, and I choose not to do movies. And when I was a child, I watched them because like everyone did, and I was
and
like,
"You were able to break free of that tyranny."
Yeah. Yep.
They're too long.
Yeah.
They're too long.
I own a
they
house
should be
now.
Shorter.
I don't need to watch a goddamn movie. I don't
Karate Kid is 90 minutes and it's fantastic. Okay.
It's not that long.
Yeah, you're right.
There's longer YouTube videos for sure.
I also have it memorized. Shows. I could just recite it to you instead.
This episode alone is going to be 3 hours.
All right.
We're going to print a retraction on the newsletter that says episodes of Glass Cannon Live are going to be 60 90 minutes.
It's all lies.
I was trying to understand.
You're setting expectations.
Print a retraction. I love it. An earlier version of this story said that our shows would be 60 to 90 minutes. I'm sorry, continue.
Kate, what's your to hit with chicken poon? Is that what you're trying to figure out?
Well,
if it's
I was
worth
trying
it?
To figure out, like, because they're spirit object and it's very much like telekinetic projectile. So, like, what the difference is, because I get 4d6 for that, but I have to roll a spell attack. That's the thing, is I could miss. But you're flat footed now.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth it. So I'm going to do telekinetic projectile.
Oh, wait, but there's still one mirror image.
I think the one meant that you don't have mirror image, that you're impending doomed one.
Oh.
I think I would do that. I feel like I still have one image. Okay. Four. You guys just haven't touched him.
That's not true. I did swipe at his hat.
And well, Pepsi got a mirror image, too, so I think you might have one left.
I think I have one left, yeah.
I don't want you to waste your spell.
It's just a cantrip. Yeah.
Okay.
Just waste
it. It's worth it, because even if you miss, then now he's ready to be hit.
And if you miss by five or less, right? Or if you don't critically miss, you still destroy an image.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Chicken Poon would deal with the same thing, right?
Would he?
I don't know. Probably. Anyway, telekinetic projectile. Give me something sharp on this boat. I'm going to fling it at this guy.
The harpoon's still there.
How about the harpoon from Chicken Poon? Going great. Okay. Oh, also,
I feel like the writers of this episode lost, ran out of ideas.
Clarification needed.
You want to do the harpoon again?
I had a hunch, but I wasn't quite sure. Are we dreaming?
Yeah, dude.
Yes.
Well, then I'm freaking frightened.
I know.
I've had
I know.
Frightened enabled this whole time.
You know why? Because in Philly, I made it seem like you weren't sure. Are we dreaming? Are we not? And then you just kept it on. Well, good.
Well, we're moving that.
You should take off some hit points from the bad guys, because Kate should have been stronger.
We should start over. Anyway,
I took them off.
Ooh, natural 19.
Ooh.
So that's like a 35 to hit.
Holy shimoly. All right, mirror image now. You're going to have to roll a d6. And if you roll a 1 to 3, it hits him.
I rolled a 4.
You critically destroyed
his
last
man.
Damn it. I have one more thing I can do then. I have one more.
There was only one action, telekinetic, John?
No, I'm done. Telekinetic was 2, and then I moved. All right. Geo's rats.
Skidamarinky, too. Well, at that moment, the blood wind laughs at you. Laughs! As one of the manacles from below deck flies up through the little grating.
She was alive.
Grab at Eris's foot. Eris, what is your fortitude DC? That's fortitude plus 10.
25.
Ooh, sadly a 29 beats that. So all of a sudden, vroom, you see this manacle come up from the hole in the ground and it latches around your leg and pulls you to the ground. It's like pulling you into the mouth of the boat. Next round.
Help me.
It is Aldo's turn. Aldo, this thing was in hand. Now you got this poor woman next to you, but for some reason, you just think you should go down below to investigate.
Okay. Do I have to lift up the hatch or anything that I'm next to?
I will say that you see the hatch. As you look at the hatch just goes...
Okay.
Very invitingly.
Question.
Okay.
Now that he has witnessed a violent manacle erupt from below decks, would he now consider this self-destructive?
It's a fair question, Matthew. And, I knew someone like you would bring it up.
One of your players? Wasn't someone like me being one of your players?
No, someone like you.
Scorpios?
No, the manacle came from the other side. This side looks nice. There's like a cheese plate down there. The alive manacles are on the other side of the boat. This is okay. Mostly cheese plates.
I jump down. One move action. Then I climb out again.
Okay.
I'd argue he's actually free of the spell. This yes. Point.
Yeah, it didn't because say go down there and stay down there.
Went below said, deck and he came
or
back up.
Until the target has completed a finite suggestion.
Yeah.
All right. Just remember next time one of you creeps use suggestion at me.
Yes, I'll be way more careful.
Better be real specific.
Go below deck and make yourself a sandwich. And then there make yourself you another sandwich.
Right.
Go below deck and piss on the ground for as long as you can.
Yeah.
Go
count
below
every
deck.
Grain of sand on the beach.
We've all read The Monkey's Paw. We know how to phrase this.
Yeah.
All right, so you go down, you climb back up, you have one action left.
Okay, I climb back up.
It's so funny.
How do you guys sleep? How do you guys sleep at night?
And I'm going to throw...
It's so dumb.
Troy, he walks out, walks back up, pulls out a bob, throws it right at the guy.
Troy, is this how you envision this round going?
Mission accomplished from the boss of this dream.
And do I know, based on what we've learned, do I know if this creature, the captain, if it's subject to like poison, anything? Is it mental damage? Like,
yeah, you did a check before, I think, on its immunities and stuff like that. You know it has a resistance to critical hits and to precision damage, but you have no reason to believe. It has any other particular resistances.
Okay. Then with my third and final action of the round, I'm going to, with my free hand, pull out a Dread Ampule. Dread Ampule, and I'm going to throw it at him.
Okay.
Okay. That is a 33 to hit.
He's flat-footed. So that is definitely a hit.
Okay, awesome. That is 14 points of mental damage.
Okay.
And he is frightened one.
Oh, God. I mean, this guy is already racked with mental pain from all of the visions and of his impending doom he's been getting. All right, so frightened one. My symbols aren't matching up. And he took some damage. Okay, great. Good for you. It is the Wraith's turn, and the Wraith just like slides over towards Aldo, and then I'll take two steps. Two steps. That's all she can do. Poor soul. And it is now Suki's turn.
Poor soul.
She feels so bad for this Wraith.
I know.
Yeah, this poor Wraith.
She had a family!
All right, so I was looking at the stuff with Animal Companion because I was confused. To me, it didn't make sense that I had to do my full three actions and then my animal acts. But what I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, but your Animal Companion can act at any point within your turn as soon as you command them. So for my first action, I'm commanding Pepsi to do something called support. And basically it holds enemies with its coils, even though it's not actually grappling anything. But it interferes with their reactions. So until the start of my next turn, any creature that my snake is threatening can't use reactions.
Okay.
So Pepsi's doing that because it's right next to the captain. So he is now threatening the captain, just like, you know, coiling up around its feet, scaring him. And then Suki, I'm going to fly up because I'm a pterosaur.
Right.
Surprise! she's going to try I have three. She's going to try to grab the hat off of his head. She flies up right on top of the captain's head with her talons and tries to pull the tricorn off his head. And he can't react because my snake is threatening him.
Okay. This is the same thing as Matthew tried to do. It's a disarm attempt.
Yes.
So this is going to be what? Athletics?
I was thinking about this. Did we actually... Is that real?
Reflex DC. Is what real?
Reflex DC.
Like, you have to use a disarm attempt to take an unwielded item from someone?
I mean, it could be
that is
interact.
Not clasped or tied or
interact.
Held in a hand by
it's
the
fair.
Person?
It's fair. It does say you try to knock something out of a creature's grasp.
Right. It's not
interact
in his grasp.
Is just manipulating.
Maybe there's a hand under there.
It also seems like you, as this dinosaur, flying dinosaur, you should just be able to take the hat. And that's it. But it also seems like that's stupidly easy for a very important thing. But I don't know. The disarm thing seems ludicrously over difficult for like what
maybe
we're
actually
trying to do.
Maybe he's like Harrison Ford and he has it stapled to his forehead.
Maybe.
Last Crusade.
Anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. It's been burning me up.
Well, this is interesting. So I'm just looking at like grab an edge of the hat.
Well, no, because there's interact, and interact is to grab an object or open a door. You know, so it's
hard to say. Like, what isn't that an unintended object? If like something flew down like an eagle while I was walking around trying to pick my baseball cap. You know, I'd have to be walking like I'm driving in a convertible to hope for it to be.
Yeah, we've all
attended.
Been at the beach with seagulls and French fries. To me, right. This is that situation. I'm gonna.
I mean, you also could rule, Troy, that a success on the disarm check would be successful as opposed to a critical success since it's unattended.
Yeah,
yeah. True. You know,
could,
I like that. Man.
You could argue that you need to make an athletics check against the fortitude DC or whatever. You know, sure.
Reflex DC.
Sure. Like, but I just feel like the plus two is stupid.
Well, here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say. Yeah, I think Matthew hit the nail on the head. We'll do an athletics check against his reflex DC. If his reflex... Because, yeah, that makes sense. You're trying to grab it. He may have the reflexes to be like, the fuck out of here, dinosaur!
Fuck off, dinosaur!
Fucking dinosaur just trying to take my hand.
The universal sign for get the fuck out of here, dinosaur.
Get out of here! Yeah, okay, I like that. Okay. There has to be... It's just like there being a roll, and I'll be like, oh, you won.
So, athletics, I don't get to add anything else. I don't think I have anything cool for that. Okay, just athletics.
Super cool, though.
Reflex.
Oh, natural 18 plus my 12 in athletics. Beat that.
Yeah, hat snatch fever.
30.
He has
30.
A reflex DC of 31.
Oh, I have to roll a natural 19.
Get the fuck out of here, dinosaur. Get the fuck out of here, dinosaur!
Wait, and he's flat-footed? Flat-footed doesn't change?
Does flat-footed
and
change?
And he's frightened.
He's frightened.
And he's
one.
Frightened. Make sure you have all your freaking conditions on.
Your freaking conditions, Valley! All right, let's see. I think flat-footed is just AC here. Yeah. But frightened.
It's all DCs, isn't it?
Yes. All checks and DCs.
Then you get it exactly.
Yes!
With a natty 18!
All right, so here's the good news and the bad news. I grab the hat. The bad news is I'm done and I can't move.
No, come on. Are you kidding me?
I can't do anything else.
What did you do?
I flew up and over to him, grabbed the hat, and my snake is threatening him so he can't make any reactions. I can't move again.
You spent the action just to
You spent the action on the snake? He has no reactions to this.
I didn't know if he had an opportunity attack.
Well, he's going to have to beat your reflex DC, which he'll do. But at least that'll take an action.
Atticus is flying, unsure of what to do. Eris has now
Come
been grabbed
grab the hat.
By a manacle that is pulling her below deck. Aldo followed the suggestion to the letter and is now back in the fight. Ethel is dying! And Suki is out of action. So what's gonna happen? Find out next week.
We have to end it. She's got the cap. She's got the cap.
The cap.
But he's just gonna take it right back.
He's gonna take it right back.
Find out next week.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at patreon.com/glasscannon.